Good morning, Tucson, Arizona. Welcome to The Morning Voice. I am your host, Grant Kruger. Excited to be here with you this Wednesday, July 9th, in the middle of summer over here in the desert. I just got back in town, actually spent the last couple of days in Detroit, Michigan, right after our show. Last week, I slipped on over, jumped on a flight, headed over to Detroit to surprise my father, Larry Kruger, for his 82nd birthday.
Happy birthday.
I couldn't say anything about it on the show over there because he would have known. He's a listener.
That's right.
And he would have known when I was coming, and so it was a bit of a surprise over there, and got to spend a little bit of time with my parents in the Midwest. Every time I go back to the Midwest, I think about how many things are different than they are out here on the West Coast, or at least the Mountain West here in the desert. And one of the things that always strikes me is just how different it is how cheap it is. I go to the restaurants, right? My dad was a General Motors employee. We didn't grow up with an awful lot of money out there. And the type of restaurants that they visit, you know, these sole proprietorship, single owner type things, still have like $7, $8, $9, $10 meals. Like today in Michigan right now in this sort of post-hyperinflationary economy we have, how is it that restaurants like this can still be in business with full service today, especially given all the problems and challenges we had in the restaurant industry over the last couple of years? And so tearing into that one a little bit deeper since I was there, I looked it up. Michigan had a minimum wage increase just this year on February 1st of 2025, moving their minimum wage up to $12.48 an hour. And I thought to myself, gosh, that's not that far away from the $14.70 or $15 wage if you happen to be in the city of Tucson. Our minimum wages are actually relatively close. But then I saw it. The server wage in Michigan went up. This is a rise, right, to $4.74 an hour. Now, that doesn't sound like an awful lot of money, but the establishments are still responsible for making up the difference for employees that don't reach that $12.48 an hour. Now, that pretty much never happens, Matt, as we've talked about before. Tips are high enough that the servers generally don't have to have any sort of wage makeup after their first week when they've completed their training. And so that makes the difference. That $4.74 an hour server wage right there still allows profitable restaurants to run at $8, $9, $10, $11, $12 meals right now in the state of Michigan. And when we went there, I was just absolutely shocked to see how inexpensive it was compared to Tucson. It doesn't have some better economy. It's not that much better or worse. They're similar sizes in terms of cities, but goodness gracious, have we made an absolute mistake in allowing our minimum wage on this side in the hospitality industry to crest to these levels, and we're paying for it both at the pump, you're paying for it at the grocery store, and you are most certainly paying for that right now in your local restaurants as well.
That is really something else. I mean, your whole price of not only your food's going up, the raw materials going into the dinner, but the wages have really gone up over the last 5 years. I mean, they've really gone up.
And when your wages in a different state are a third on the server side, when it's such a big component of what makes up a restaurant's cost basis, when the service costs a third less, you can afford to have more servers, you can have better service, and you can have lower prices, none of which we can have right now in the state of Arizona ever since Proposition 206 was passed all the way back in 2016. And so we've sort of done it to ourselves. Now, one little gem that I do find when I travel quite regularly here is our Tucson airport, actually. It is quite a treat to be able to get in and out of our airport without an awful lot of fanfare or hassle compared to other airports. Yeah. I always try to fly out of Tucson. You see those signs on the highway on the way to Phoenix, like, had you flown out of Tucson, you would have been home already right now. And they're true. It might cost a couple of shekels more, but gosh, is it nice just to be able to get in and out with next to no traffic whatsoever. It's a pretty neat thing. I flew the Greyhound of the skies in Southwest Airlines. We tend to have, you know, an awful lot of oversized Southwest presence here in Tucson because they're one of the three major carriers that fly out of Tucson Airport. And so I had a little chat with these guys about what's going on over these next couple of months here in the airline business in Tucson and how that might affect you. First and foremost, breaking news yesterday from TSA that the shoe requirement is being removed, right? I'm actually pretty excited about that. I mean, I belong to TSA PreCheck and Clear, like the two sort of speed checks, you know, the equivalent of the cash only five items or less, you know, speed grocery store aisle of airline checkouts, almost specifically to avoid having to take your laptop out of your bag and take your shoes off. And so that has been a rule since 2006, since there had been a flight on the way to Paris where an individual had attempted to put a bomb, unsuccessfully, put a bomb in his shoe. And we've been paying that price with stinky footwear for essentially the last two decades in the United States. The absolute cost in time and efficiency on having to take your shoes off is just unbelievable. It's hard to calculate how much inefficiency happened, all to prevent one incident that really, quite frankly, never even fully happened or occurred. And so Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem announced yesterday that TSA is getting rid of that particular requirement to remove your shoes, and I, for one, am all for it. Southwest as well, too, is having talked to a few of their employees in the last 48 hours, making some other major changes. You got to pay for bags these days, so since the 28th of May, you are now paying for your bag to fly out of Southwest, and by the beginning of 2026, they are going to have premium seating. There's going to be a first-class section. They're actually retooling the interior on all of their 737 jets to make room for an additional 5 inches of leg room, is what they're saying will be available on those particular flights. And they've rebranded a whole lot of their ticket packages. Their want-to-get-away packages are now rebranded as basic. And so that sounds a little worse over there. It's like the base plan, right? Like like buying the car with like the mouse fur velour interior, right, and roll-up windows.
One color, white, yeah.
Yes. And so some changes are definitely coming up to the Tucson airport over here as our primary carrier, Southwest Airlines, reacts to these changes. But effective immediately, you will not have to take your shoes off at the airport. And I, for one, am completely excited about those changes coming. What was interesting to me on News of the Weird yesterday was that a man was arrested on Monday for stealing a Tucson Fire Department rescue truck, right?
taking that fare-free transit, the free bus, is a little bit too far.
Yes, Matthew Lally allegedly got into the TFD rescue Ford F-250. He wasn't part of the incident that the firefighters had responded to, but he hopped in that truck and drove himself to the hospital. And local authorities asked him what he was doing as he was cited for this, and he said that he was constipated, and that was his reason for stealing the TFD fire truck, was constipation. Like, as if there was like some sort of express lane to get into the hospital bathroom over here. Justification to this is just amazing. Like, I'd love to think if I could use constipation as some sort of pretext for criminal activity, like, this would have no end.
This is
end.
Why it was speeding, officer.
Yes.
I've heard the opposite, why people are speeding, which we don't have to get into, but wowee.
Yeah, I think it was only a few months ago we had speeding because my car battery was running out in some capacity.
Boy,
but now, officer, I'm sorry. I'm really constipated. I've got to get back home right now. Jeez. This is absolutely a medical emergency.
My word to the wise, you know, the police, the sheriff's department, take the keys out of the helicopter or lock the door, because that's next. You know, you're going to get some wise guy.
Yes, yes. So speaking of EVs and EV credits, with the signing of the One Big Beautiful Bill, the EV credits are coming to an end. And so the $7,500 new car EV credit or $4,000 used EV car credit are going to go the way of the dodo bird on September 30th. And so manufacturers out there are offering all kinds of deals. I haven't seen a protest in front of the Tesla dealer here in Tucson in a couple weeks now. I'm not so sure if it's related to the heat or maybe the end of these EV discounts, or maybe it's because Elon Musk has suddenly made a turn to his own unique political party over here, threatening to start the America Party. But nonetheless, do take a look at that one if you're even remotely interested in local EV purchases right now. There's an expiring and sunsetting credit out there for you that you need to pay attention to.
Now you get the corny... the corny car dealer ads. The only thing that people are protesting are our low prices. You know, you get the car dealer ad late night TV.
Without a doubt, it's coming. Yeah. I can see this one already. Scott Lehman, you know, I'm in a pickle. And so ultimately, this is going to change the car market quite a bit, an EV market that already was struggling a little bit as the new adopters have gone out and purchased these. But the secondary market's been a little bit more challenging with crushing depreciation on EV purchases. And the average EV costs, now the average unit volume, the average, purchase price of an EV is about $58,000 in the United States. That's about $10,000 higher than internal combustion engine vehicle as well, too. And so that delta is going to get a bit more expensive in the absence of that tax credit. One more note, it is Amazon Prime Day. It's actually 4 days of Amazon Prime, a big deal around my household. If you pay attention to my wife, Katarina, and the amount of boxes showing up around there.
Like the shopping version of Hanukkah, the eight crazy days.
I don't understand this one particularly. I think this is a lot of marketing up front along the same lines as a Toyota-thon or a Lobster Fest or something at Red Lobster.
Honda Days.
But looking at the numbers, like they do nearly Black Friday level numbers on Prime Day on a particularly slow period of the week or a period of the year. And Prime Day has now moved to the 8th to the 11th of July. So there is all kinds of savings out there for those looking to not shop local. Speaking of local, we're going to take a quick break over here. And when we come back, we're going to bring on a big new guest, an announcement on KVOI. We've got a new show coming up on 10:30 a.m. Don't go anywhere. We're going to break that news to you when we come back after the break. You're listening to Grant Kruger on The Morning Voice, 10:30 a.m., your home for local news and talk.
And don't forget, you can follow along with us, Facebook, 10:30 The Voice is the page, or YouTube. We're streaming in video. Now back to Grant.
Welcome back to The Morning Voice. I'm your host, Grant Kruger. We're always bringing you live, local, amazing content here at KVOI, and we've got an announcement today for a new show coming up just this Saturday. And joining us live, calling into the KVOI studios, is Mrs. Kim Commando, America's digital goddess, who's going to talk about her new show. Good morning, Kim.
Hey, how are you guys? So happy to be on your station there in Tucson.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us on The Morning Voice today and taking a little time out of your Wednesday morning to talk about your show with us. You've got over 435 different radio stations have picked up the Kim Commando show, no?
Definitely not an overnight success. I've been doing this for many years. And what I do is I talk about tech as it relates to the average person. It's definitely not a show for computer geeks and freaks, as they like to say. I talk about security and scams, answer people's questions, how to make money online, what's going on with AI, how to protect your family from identity theft. And it just kind of rolls the whole gamut. I mean, I was just thinking on last weekend's show, I had an Uber driver who was participating in a gold bar scam. She wanted to tell me about that. It's really a fun show. I also have a co-host. His name is Andrew. And again, we just have a great time just talking about tech.
I love your show. I've actually been a listener for years, and I find the way that you can bring tech down to the average person, such as Matt Neely and myself over here, is really refreshing because you can help dumb it down to the lowest common denominator for guys like us.
Well, I wouldn't say dumb it down. It's just that, wherever you go, tech influences you now. I mean, you can talk about, cars, you can talk about politics, but I don't think anything has had a fundamental effect on our lives and our families like artificial intelligence and like consumer tech. What's happening in Washington as relates to tech? We have social media that we're all on, smartphones, and what age is the right age for our kids to have a phone? And if we're taking care of older adults, how are some ways that tech can benefit us more than just, we're going to give mom or dad a bracelet that says, help me if I've fallen down. There are just so many different aspects of tech. And I also, aside from the show, I had to have two daily shows, a SiriusXM show, and I also send out a free newsletter to about 700,000 folks every single day. And it's about a 5-minute read to just kind of get you up to date. Like, for example, today's top story is this pretty scary one. It's about how scammers from China, as a matter of fact, are setting up fake websites. It looks totally legit. And you give your credit card, but then they ghost you. I mean, you don't get, they take your payment, but you don't get any products. And so in case you want to sign up for the newsletter, you can just go ahead and do that. Again, it's free over at getkim.com.
It's worth signing up for, too. There's a lot of great information in that every day. Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome. Well, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that.
One of the things I was checking out, Kim, on your website just the other day was how you were talking about the decline of Google and how Google is essentially going to be going away, a company that essentially has become a brand for internet searches, right? Almost in the same way aspirin became a brand. And suddenly, it's a verb, Googling something. And suddenly, Google is fading off into the sunset behind AI over here. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Well, you know, I saw OpenAI ChatGPT probably about 4 months before it was actually released to the public. And that was in the summer of 2022. And at that time, you know, I have a pretty competent IT staff. And I called everybody in and I said, listen, I said, you know, if I have a phrase, and I know you're all going to cringe when I say it. And normally it's like teamwork makes the dream work. And everybody's like, oh, my God, there she goes again. But I said, you know, if you don't innovate, you evaporate. And Google is going away. Websites are dead. They are just dead. And everybody in the room looked at me like, oh, my God, what is this woman on? You know, like, what did she take this morning? And, you know, here I am and here we are 3 years after that. And, you know, there's no reason to Google anything anymore. You get AI overviews from Google. But really, if you're not using ChatGPT or Perplexity or Claude or Copilot, any of the ones that you like, is that your competitors are and you're just really missing out. But it also goes to say that, you know, with artificial intelligence, of course, that it hallucinates. It does make mistakes. But when you are really looking at the impact of AI on our lives, it's taking away jobs. It is, but it's also creating new jobs. But there's really, you know, no reason to go to a website. I mean, who's going to go to WebMD to look up if they have a rash when I can submit photos to ChatGPT and say, tell me really what's going on. And that's really the power of AI is, and that's what I'm trying to do, is really instruct people and point people in a direction on how they can use AI within their lives and in their personal lives, their professional lives, and to really get ahead, because there are just so many things that you can do with it. Like just, you know, last night I got a new homeowner's insurance policy from three different sources. And I'm sitting there going like, oh my gosh, do I really want to do this? And I submitted all three up into chat and said, tell me the pros and cons of each. And it came back. I was contemplating, notice the past tense, contemplating buying a new home. We went and looked at my husband and I and was like, wow, this is great. We're going to love it. This is fabulous. And oh my God, I'm going to have a studio here in the house and all this other stuff. And it came back with a 69-page home inspection report. And I'm sitting there going like, oh my gosh, who's going to read 69 pages of a home inspection report? And then I put that into ChatGPT and it actually came back and said, run, don't walk away from this deal.
Wild. What a time saver too.
You know, it's an incredible time saver. But back to your original question with Google is that, you know, now the new verb is chat. I'm going to chat that, you know, and it's not, some people say, I'll jeep it. No, don't say that. You're going to sound like a fool. GPT. You just want to say, I'll chat that. And so if you are looking at ways to expand your business and you're trying to get into chat's search results, and that's really where the emphasis needs to be right now. Is that you want to make sure that you have a 5 out of 5 Trustpilot rating. Look at those Google reviews, because that's what the AI is looking at to recommend to other people. These are some things that, of course, we talk about on the show, because aside from, you know, being the host of the show and running the company, and I have a 27,000 square foot facility here in Phoenix, if anybody ever wants to come and see it, is that, you know, I started this company. And so I'm a businesswoman and I approach the show and everything that comes with it, you know, from that perspective.
No, speaking of business people's perspectives over here, for years we've spent money on SEO, right? Search engine optimization. How do I appear in your Google searches? But what else can we do to appear in the AI searches? Is there AI search optimization out there in some capacity right now? Or is this a fledgling industry that somebody still has yet to develop?
Well, you know, like I mentioned, if you want to get into the AI search results, it's looking for credible sources. And those are based on reviews. And so if you have a business, you want to make sure that you have a great Yelp review, for example, on a local level, especially on a national level, or even on a local level, you know, Google reviews, make sure that you have your Google profile set up. And Trustpilot is super important too, as is the Better Business Bureau. So if you're sitting there saying, like, how do I get to the top of the search results? And that was always a big deal, but that's not really a big deal anymore. That's where you have to look at, well, how else can I get visitors to my business? And then you also have to look at social media, make sure you have that nailed down. If you are not offering, you know, maybe some sponsored posts and Open Table, if you own a restaurant, that's also very important. And as well as now Open Table has some new things of Notify that if your restaurant's booked, for example, I know you're in that industry, is that now it will actually let people have a reservation once you get a cancellation. And so there are different things that you need to do now to propel your business, especially with email marketing. I mean, if you're not doing email marketing, that's another big no-no. And you got to get your butt in gear because it's up to you to have a one-on-one relationship with your customer because Google will not provide that for you any longer.
No, we've struggled with that for years because even the social media sites, the Facebooks and Instagram, the meta-controlled ones of the universe, used to allow us to communicate directly with our guests who liked or followed us, and those posts would appear in chronological order. But about 5 years ago, they changed that, and now you won't see those posts unless we pay and boost those things. So I've got to pay Meta to communicate with my own customers that liked and wanted to follow me for our own information.
Yeah, it's very frustrating, especially because so many people came out and said, follow me on Facebook, follow me, you know, and do all that. And then, of course, they changed the algorithm to say, okay, now you have to pay us. And now Meta has announced that they're going to be putting AI bots into comments and things. So the AI bots are going to be controlling it. So it's more than ever that it's so important that you have that one-on-one relationship with your customer. And really the only way to do that is through their phone, with this, which is texting. And nobody wants to get a text from a business, I'm sorry. Or you get into email marketing. And there are sites like kit.com. I'm a strong proponent of Beehive. If you wanted to just start up a free newsletter, stay away from Substack. We're not really sure that's going to be in for the long haul.
Well, we appreciate the advice, and we're really excited to have you join us over here on KVOI. Matt, that show is going to be on Saturday.
Every Saturday, 1 to 4, right after American Warrior. Yay! So it's a great lead-in with Ben Buehler-Garcia on American Warrior Radio, and then nationally syndicated, and we're the home base for that show. And then they can get smarter, and it's fun. It's a fun show to listen to. It's good content. It's entertaining, but you'll learn a lot in the process. 1 to 4 Saturdays.
Yeah, we're really excited for this one, Kim. We've got about 30 seconds before we got to go to break over here. Where else can our listeners engage with you, Kim Komando? Looking forward to your new show coming up here on Saturdays.
Well, you know, you can always make an appointment to speak with me on the show, so you don't have to sit there on hold for hours. So just head over to the website. It's Komando with a K, of course. And yes, I go Komando. KOMANDO.com, Komando.com. And there's a link at the top that says Ask Kim. And I read every single note that you send me there. Hard for me to follow all the DMs through social media.
Love it. Thank you so much, Kim Komando, America's digital goddess, going to be joining us on KVOI.
So excited about that.
Very much so. Every Saturday, 1 to 4 p.m. starting this Saturday. And Kim, thank you so much for spending part of your Wednesday mornings with us. Looking forward to hearing you on Saturdays.
You know what? I'm honored to be on your station. Thank you so much.
Thank you. And listeners, don't go anywhere. We've got more of The Morning Voice coming back after the break. Welcome back to The Morning Voice. I am your host, Grant Kruger. It may be July. It may be hot as Hades out there right now, but election season is actually hotter than the weather we're having right now in southern Arizona. We've got a couple
17 concurrent elections going on.
Yeah, we've got quite a bit of local political action happening over here in the dog days of summer. Today actually happens to be the last day to mail in your ballots in that CD7 race. Congressional District 7, for those that aren't paying attention, has a primary coming up 1 week from yesterday. So essentially, by next week's show over here, we're going to have an announcement for the winners of both the Democrat and the Republican primary for CD7. But given that there is a heavy Democrat voter advantage in CD7, it is likely that the Democrat candidate that wins this particular primary is going to be a heavy, heavy favorite to win the general election on September 23rd. And the money is rolling in right now on the Democrat side on that primary. There have been millions, millions, plural, of dollars raised in this particular race. If you were ever thinking about running for Congress, you know, or some high-ranking seat like this yourselves, take note that to be effective, to have a chance in this race, you literally have to raise seven figures worth of money to make this happen, whether it's locally or through various national political action committees. And with this month coming to an end, this last quarter, finance reports became available of as to who's been raising the money and how much. And so looking at the Democrat side first and foremost in that District 7 race, the biggest fundraiser of the bunch, an alum of this particular show, happens to be Daniel Hernandez, raised over $1 million, the former state lawmaker has done in this particular race. And so if money was everything in it, and it's not, there's certainly more to it than just fundraising, but you can't get your message out without money either.
That's the thing. You talk to candidates, they say, well, I talked to a group of people and, you know, that my message really resonated with them, but this is the problem. You can talk to 20 or 50 or even 100 people, but with, you know, hundreds of thousands of voters out there, it is, you do need money, unfortunately, to get the message out to a wider audience.
And this trickles down even to our local races for city council and whatnot as well, too. If you're afraid to ask your friends, family, local businesses, and local civic leaders for money, like, it's going to be an incredibly difficult experience for you to be successful in politics. And these local politics are the things that really make the difference in all of our lives. I know we get so excited about who the president is and what they're going to change, and everybody gets excited about, you know, what the governor is going to do. These are sexy races. But honestly, our local Congress people and our local city council and our board of supervisors make these changes that are going to really trickle down to the lives of pretty much every Tucsonan in some capacity. And so these are ones that all of us need to start paying attention to. So this is also the last day to drop off your early ballots in CD7. There are 58 voting centers open right now to receive those particular early ballots for this July 15th election. And candidate Hernandez right now is in the lead in terms of fundraising. Coming right behind him in the $800,000 range is Adelita Grijalva. Ms. Grijalva, of course, was a former Pima County Board of Supervisor and TUSD school board member. And the Grijalva name is no stranger to politics. There was a Tim Steller article just the other day about how she is somehow suddenly considered the establishment, even though they wanted to be the anti-establishment.
She is the establishment. Yeah, yeah. I mean, the Grijalva machine.
Yes.
Two words.
Yes. It's a machine for a reason, right? Because of its efficacy.
When she had a day to get her qualifying signatures, either for the Board of Supervisors seat that she has or for the congressional nomination for the congressional primary. And she got like the max number of signatures in like 17 minutes or something. I mean, like within a day or two, she got enough signatures to qualify. That is called a machine. That means establishment, a generation on the TUSD school board, you know, all those years on the county supervisor. Yes, she is the establishment. She is the Pima County Democratic Party.
And a large portion of her fundraising, of the $835,000 that she's raised thus far, Matt, came from PACs, political action committees, the Moms Fed Up PAC, the United Food and Commercial Workers International, Union Active Ballot Club, and other groups like this, raising five and six figures for candidates.
So
like
it
this.
Gets really hard to say, I'm the change agent, you know, I'm the disruptor. It gets really hard for her to say something like that.
What I do think is interesting, and what's going to really define this race, is the change agent in this particular one, and that's political newcomer Deja Fox. Deja Fox is third in the fundraising on a five-horse Democrat primary over here, and Deja's raised over $600,000.
That's not too shabby.
Basically, none of that is from PACs. This is like the actual grassroots anti-establishment candidate on the Democrats.
This is a total AOC play. That's her whole thing. I'm an influencer. I'm young. It's an AOC play.
The 25-year-old Fox has put out three different mailers at this point with that $600,000 attacking Grijalva. In fact, the Democrat machine was quite upset because the first mailers that came out, everybody assumed it came from the Hernandez side, right? The war between the Hernandez and the Grijalvas have been well documented, right? The
sure.
Hatfields and McCoys of Pima County politics over here for sure. But so everybody assumed these mailers coming out were certainly the work of the Hernandez in some capacity. And when the PAC that did these was finally disclosed, and everybody was able to dissect that financial information and figure out who this group was, they were actually associated with Deja Fox. And that same these same PACs have put out mailers in support of candidate Fox. And so it's pretty interesting to see a 25-year-old go out there and raise $600,000 and attack, whether you think so or not, the establishment candidates over here with some degree of efficacy.
I thought the news writer was a little overly naive or wide-eyed to say, well, how can she be the establishment? She is the establishment. She's the Democratic establishment. She's the establishment candidate. So yeah, this is an interesting dynamic.
Yes, and so this has turned into a three-horse race with each side raising over $500,000. The two other candidates in this race raised so little money that they didn't have to file campaign finance reports. So think under $5,000 at this point. So if you're there, you're pretty much not competitive in this race, right? This now has turned into a three-horse race, and you never know in a three-horse one like that. You might not have to necessarily have 51% of the vote to get this done. 34% might be enough.
And if you get big enough groups kind of going towards the other two candidates, that's how you get somebody to walk in from left field like this.
Yes.
I didn't mean that pun quite so literally as left field, but I guess it would be. Yeah. But I remember, a generation ago, Rick Renzi ran in Flagstaff, in the CD1, the old CD1, which included Flagstaff and lots of Eastern Arizona, a huge district. But he was relatively unknown. The two prominent candidates were a couple of Mormon gentlemen in the primary, and whatever it was, they took a big component of the vote in that congressional district and split it. And Renzi came in almost out of left field, won the primary and won a seat in Congress.
And this is going to possibly play out on a national level, too, as we look at the potential creation of this America Party through Elon Musk. Sure. You know, could this have a Ross Perot-like effect in some capacity?
We just
over
heard
here?
Kim Komando tell us about how everything is changing, how, via social media and via other platforms, you can garner large following to the point where Google is now obsolete, or a business's website. It's a nice to have, but it's really not doing the heavy lifting as far as getting people into your place.
Without a doubt. I think the world is changing, and we've got to figure out ways to leverage TikTok and to leverage Meta and to leverage Google and Perplexity AI. This AI search might literally be the difference between candidates coming up in future elections. It might not be door knocking anymore. We talk about door knocking, right? Everybody wants to show their pair of worn out shoes that they have door knocking, because it's not nearly as sexy as showing a worn out keyboard or a worn out phone screen in some capacity, right? But that might really be the tools to get things done, because when you think of the efficacy of door knocking, Matt, like going door to door, would you answer your door right now to somebody with a clipboard beating on it?
I'm telling you, like, again, 20, 30 years ago, people would call houses and say, hey, I'd like to talk to you. I'm a good candidate. You know, this is why I think you should vote for me. This is why I think I can do a good job for you. Well, we don't answer the phone. We're cautious now about answering our door, just for a lot of good reasons. And you're right. I mean, so instead of a well-worn, like you said, a well-worn keyboard or a well-worn pair of shoes, and you know, now the sexy thing is, hey, look at my algorithm, you know?
Right, yeah. Look at the number of likes I have.
Look at these
the
data sets, Grant.
Yeah, that's really going to be it. And I know that may be deep nerdery for some of our listeners out there, but this is the changing face of politics. And to me, I'm going to be watching with bated breath when I see this Democrat primary over here, and to see if realistically speaking, a young upstart candidate with a strong social media following can either win or potentially play the spoiler over here to the establishment candidate. I don't think that possibility is 0% over here. It's not high, but it's not zero. And so this one is going to be interesting to watch. On the Republican side, the campaign financing's a little tighter, right? We've had two of the three Republican candidates for CD7 come on this show over here with me in the last month to talk about their campaigns. But realistically speaking, Jorge Rivas reported only $11,000 in total campaign funds. Gutierrez reported a low six figures. A nice chunk of it came from some of his own finances over there. So he did get you know, $100,000 and some change, and probably is going to be the likely candidate to win that one if you think of a 10-to-1 fundraising advantage. And I think he's got bigger signs out there and maybe a little more name recognition as well, too, based on a previous run against Adelita's father, Raul Grijalva. But we're going to have those results 1 week from today, and I, for one, am excited about it. Let's take a quick break over here, Matt. We've got one more segment of our first hour of the Morning Voice. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Grant Kruger and Matt Neely on 10:30 a.m., your home for local news and talk. To the Morning Voice, I am your host, Grant Kruger. Always excited to spend a Wednesday mornings with you guys, 7 to 9 a.m. Every weekday, 7 to 9, we actually bring you local live Tucson news on the Morning Voice. On Monday mornings, you've got Lydia Aranda. On Tuesday mornings, you've got General Ted Maxwell from the Southern Arizona Leadership Council and RTA Board, amongst many other accolades that he brings to the table over there. On Wednesdays, you get me, a little bit of food for thought, local restaurant, business, and political talk and news. On Thursdays, Tom Moulton from the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. And on Fridays, Dr. Ed Ackerley bringing you wonders from the University of Arizona. We are the Morning Voice and always excited to spend every weekday morning with you. As we talked about at the top of the hour, Kim Komando Show coming to KVOI. Pretty excited about that one. On every Saturday, 1 to 4. She's going to break down local tech news for you in bite-sized pieces. It's actually a great follow, a great listen. There's lots of tips over there. Even somebody that I like to think of myself as reasonably tech-forward,
sure,
and savvy, and I've learned some things from this, some shortcuts and steps, and it's hard to stay on top of this digital era if you're not getting some sort of Cliff Notes version.
We think about a computer show, the legacy of a computer show. Hey, here's how you defrag your computer. Here's how you update your applications. But as you and Kim really got out there, I mean, as we all know, our lives are basically digital now. We pay for things with our phones, and between social media and banking and all of our transactions, appointments, calendars, everything. So The concept of a tech show has really evolved over, I'm sure, since she started it.
Without a doubt. I mean, she's been at this for 2.5 decades, and we're really lucky to have her part of the family over here on KVOI every Saturday, 1 to 4. Now, speaking of wearing out shoes and knocking on doors over here, I did have the opportunity to meet with City Council candidate Jesse Lugo. Late last week, we went to his fundraiser in downtown Tucson at the Don Martini Club, located right next to the Rialto Theater, of course, yep, on Congress. And lots of the who's who of local politics were over there on both sides of the equation, you know, on both the D and I think on the moderate R side of things out there in support of candidate Lugo. I understand he did finally just qualify for matching funds in just the last few days, so I'm pretty excited about that one.
A little story there, too, I think it does. Yeah.
There was quite a delay in getting that. And imagine here
processing by the
The city clerk, I believe, here in this.
Anyway, it's worked out, but.
So it's crazy that he just gets those funds.
Took an undue amount of time, it sounded like.
Yeah, when those ballots, the early ballots for the city council election, are being mailed out as soon as today, right? I believe like today these things start getting postmarked for this August 5th election. And that may sound like a long time away, but gosh, it's already the 9th of July. And so it is now city council
the
election.
The voting starts today. Early voting starts today. Ballots are being mailed today.
Yeah, so we are right in the middle of the city of Tucson election season as well, too. And there are three races out there, right? This Ward 5 one that we talked about with Jesse Lugo, he's running up against two additional Democrat candidates. There is zero Republican challengers out here. So barring some crazy over-the-top write-in ballot sort of situation, the winner is going to be decided in Ward 5 on the 5th of August. Like, we're going to know who that next city council person will be to replace Councilman Richard Fimbres. And that's going to be between candidates Jesse Lugo, a Christopher Elsner, and Selena Barajas. Selena Barajas is the one that would be supported by, what did we say at the last segment?
The establishment.
Candidates as well, too. Yeah. And there seems to be a bit of a tiff right now on social media between candidate Lugo and current replacement city councilman Roque Perez.
Oh,
as
really?
Well, too, as they've argued over just the last let's say, 4 or 5 days about whether or not Jesse participated in a number of forums with respect to that expansion on 12th Avenue. If you've heard some of Jesse's campaign ads, he's talking about these trees that they planted and all these changes they made, these unwanted changes they made to the avenue. And current replacement, I guess, incumbent city councilman Roque Perez criticized Jesse, probably one of the most actively civic individuals that I know in all of Tucson and all of Southern Arizona.
So he's pot shots at him, huh?
I won't even bore you with the list of how many things Jesse participates in, because we've actually only got about another minute left in this segment, and I couldn't even get there. But to have an active city council person taking shots at Jesse Lugo for the seat that he's running for as well, too, seems to me to be at a minimum in bad taste, if not in some way, shape, or form, potentially even a violation of City of Tucson election laws. When you're an active city council member like this, to take shots at one of the candidates just doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me. But it also is, unfortunately, Matt, par for the course in the city of Tucson.
Jesse's expressing the heresy that major arterial roads are designed to get as many cars from one place to the other as efficiently as possible.
Heresy over there, these road diets.
Heresy.
They all need a road diet, a GLP-1.
And the humanized words like a road diet, like we're eating, it's just crazy.
It is true. And so he, you know, has somehow drawn the ire of the current city council person that was just appointed for that position as well, too, who's quite the youngster that truly, like, on his resume, you know, wouldn't have, even 1/10 of what Jesse Lugo has on this one. And I think that that's unfortunate. And it shows the state of city of Tucson politics that we so often have here in Tucson.
Well, and the guy there, Mr. Perez, is finishing his term, endorsed Jesse. So Mr. Richard Fimbres endorsed Jesse, not.
Without a doubt. Well, we've got another intoxicating hour of the Morning Voice coming up. When we come back after the break, I'm going to bring you all kinds of late-breaking local restaurant and business food service news coming up. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Grant Kruger on the Morning Voice, 10:30 a.m. You're home for local news and talk. Good morning, Tucson, Arizona. Welcome back to Hour 2 of The Morning Voice. I am your host, Grant Kruger, and I love getting the opportunity to talk local restaurant shop with you every week, right? Everybody loves having local restaurants in their neighborhood, and it's no secret that the industry has had a lot of challenges over the last 5 years, and it's always had a lot of challenges in Tucson based on some of the seasonality that we have over here, right? Those big peaks in the wintertime followed by summertime lows make cash flow management quite difficult, and often create a lot of closures and openings and just turmoil in general in the industry. And in today's restaurant news and food for thought, there is certainly no shortage of turmoil and news. And the first big breaking story on the You Called It department a couple of months ago, Charo Vita has announced that they have rebranded and are going to reopen shortly as a Charo Steak concept, right? Ray Flores is well-known Mediterranean Sonoran concept, a plant-forward restaurant that wasn't fully vegan, so to say, but very vegan forward, announced its closure on May 25th after a 5-year run. And quickly, the C. Charo restaurants have announced that they're going to open up a Charo Steak on the northwest side. This location happens to be 7109 North Oracle. That's the Casas Adobes Shopping Center, where Whole Foods is located, for those keeping score at home over there. And if you look at their Instagram page, they are doing a hiring fair right now, like over the next 3 or 4 days. So that leads me to believe that their opening is just a few weeks away. You wouldn't be doing a hiring fair if you weren't readily
the equipment's there. It's a restaurant. It was an operating restaurant as of a couple months ago. So yeah, sure. It's
and you also, Matt, probably have a lease
and the same
where
people.
You're continuing to pay rent on that, whether you're open or not.
Thank
too.
You.
So I'm no expert.
Thank
at
you
this.
For that reality injection there. That was
You're not going to sit around and just let that thing be idle forever. You might as well get started in the summer months and you know, knock some of the rust off and work out the rough edges of that particular concept so that you can be ready
probably
to go.
Probably train staff that's ready to get back to work.
Yes.
Yeah, so all the elements are there for a quick restart.
Agreed. So I would expect to see Charo Steak open in just the next few weeks in that location after a mild rebrand, repaint, refreshing in some capacity. But it does show me how troubled plant-based or healthy-based restaurant concepts are. I rarely see them last in very large, expensive retail locations like this. Your vegan or vegetarian concepts, one, struggle because they almost have to be 100% vegan or vegetarian to appeal to the zealots that eat that way. God forbid there be a piece of meat or animal protein cooked on the same grill as my food or sharing a same deep fryer in some capacity. And once you go there,
that's it.
You've limited your audience, right? If you don't have meat at all, well, there's the what we like to call the veto factor. Where somebody in your party, we've got a 6 or 8 top man, somebody in the party goes, nope, I want a hamburger. And I am not going there unless you give me something like that on my list. And so when you are just straight vegan or vegetarian, you often lose that veto vote. And as such, these concepts tend to be smaller.
Sure.
I remember a healthy fast food concept in the drive-through location that is currently Nico's on Campbell, right? And at some point, it had turned into a healthy concept called Fat Chance. This is about 25 years ago, so I'm dating myself over here. And I remember, you know, 24-year-old me at that time, 25 years ago, so you can do the math and figure out how old I am here on the show, like 24-year-old me thinking, boy, I don't know about healthy fast food concept. Like, I don't think America is ready for that. And certainly Tucson, Arizona isn't ready for that. And sure enough, Fat Chance had a fat chance of making it over here. And within a year, closed and went out of business. That location turned into a Nico's, where it's now been there for 24 years straight, right, serving carne asada burritos and other unhealthy but delicious fare, to intoxicated college students at 2 o'clock in the morning. And so they've got a multi-decade run selling steak burritos and less than a year as a healthy fast food concept. And unfortunately, I think we're seeing that play out in this Charo Vita, Charo Steak thing as well, too. And while it's certainly unfortunate to see a concept close, I'm really excited to see it open back up immediately, get those jobs back into Southern Arizona, get that tax revenue going. Nobody wants a dark or empty restaurant in their shopping center.
Plus, the traffic at Casas Adobes Center is off the charts. So, I mean, it's all you have to do is open the doors and you know, you're just going to have just a lot of business at a background level.
Yes.
So location, 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 as they say.
Without a doubt. That's a busy, busy intersection over there at Oracle and Ina, but a lot of competition as well too, right? I mean, there's just about everything available in that shopping center. And as we've talked about on the show before too, Matt, Whole Foods, quite frankly, as a competitor to full service restaurants, they've had a pizza bar and beers on tap and whatnot like that. They might actually take some business from some local bars.
Not the sushi, but what's the salad? The poke salad. You can get that there. All sorts of, and like you said, you can have a beer and all sorts of things. So.
Without a doubt. Certainly Whole Foods can be hurtful as opposed to helpful, depending on what element of the business you're in. Now, something I forgot to bring up the last couple of weeks, but I did find interesting on the news, was Waffle House announced that their egg surcharge ended just a few weeks ago. In February of this year, Waffle House announced that they were going to put a 50-cent surcharge on every egg dish served in the Waffle House restaurants due to the rising cost of eggs nationwide for a variety of reasons. To give you an idea, Waffle House has about 2,000 restaurants in the United States, man. 2,000. They use 272 million eggs a year at Waffle House. And our restaurants, having been through this whole egg lawsuit with Attorney General Chris Mayes, one that's still going on to this day as part of our documentary disclosure, we used a little over 100,000. I want to say like 125,000 eggs per year in a small little local restaurant group like myself. Imagine Waffle House, 272 million. They have announced the end of their egg surcharge, apologizing for that one on social media and reducing the prices of Waffle House food.
But you still
everywhere.
Get free entertainment there after midnight. You still get the free fights at Waffle House for free. No floor charge, no cover charge for that.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes. And you can still get that, don't worry, on TMZ Tucson as well, too, if you'd like to follow a X account that shows some of the soft white underbelly of downtown's nocturnal scene out there as well, too. Unfortunately, we do have some following for these kind of fisticuffs and issues. Speaking of downtown, it's going to get another pizza place. Zeke's Pizza and Coffee has announced that they're going to open downtown at 161 North 6th Avenue.
Okay.
And so Ezekiel Zeke Gebrek Gadane. I can't pronounce that last name terribly well, and I'm sorry, Zeke, if I've butchered that in any capacity with you. He's a former Blackjack Pizza franchisee that's gone off to now open his own restaurant. So I think this is going to be his first restaurant that's all his in some capacity, and they're opening up on July 19th, so 10 days from now, 161 North 6th Avenue. An interesting combination, Zeke's Pizza and coffee. You know, not two things that necessarily go 100% together in my book, right. But we shall see. And they're opening up on July 19th.
Sounds like a kitchen utilization play. You know, you can sell coffee early in the morning and start throwing pies at lunch.
Correct.
Yeah.
And so we wish them a tremendous amount of success, as everybody opening in that downtown area as well too deserves. And he's taking a stab at his own first restaurant that won't be a chain, that won't be a franchise. He's invented his own brand of Zeke's Pizza and Coffee, and they're opening up in 10 days. So do get out there and support them. Now, some of our listeners may know that we own the Maverick, King of Clubs. And the Mavericks had a long, sordid history of incendiary activities.
Storied history.
At 4 o'clock in the morning with the TVs removed and the liquor gone and you know, potentially burning to the ground. And unfortunately, not to make light of situations like there tends to be issues with establishments that aren't doing as well financially, that this has happened in Tucson's history. And breaking on the news just a couple of days ago, the Coronado Vineyards, an 8,000 square foot building located in Wilcox, announced that they had a fire that burned pretty much the building to the ground. And this is a pretty unfortunate circumstance for a local vineyard, right? We've had other vineyards from Wilcox on this show before, and it's heartbreaking to find out that their dream, their entrepreneurial, you know, exercise could be this big risk reward that they took could be ruined by a giant fire. But already the news is reporting this fire as quote unquote suspicious. And court records reveal that Coronado Vineyards had a bankruptcy filing in March. And it announced only a month ago on social media that they were closing for the summer. And so it does have some sort of worrying financial implications on the front end of things that happened to this business, only to have such a devastating fire a month or two afterwards. And so this weekend, Coronado Vineyards, big 8,000 square foot building burned to the ground. Fortunately, no one was injured in that blaze. And we'll bring you breaking news if anything more breaks on that particular story. Why don't we take a quick break over here for some great sponsors, Matt? When we come back, we're going to bring Cassie Smedile-Doxy. She's a Republican strategist and a VP of communications for the party. She's going to break down some interesting things about this one big, beautiful bill and how that might affect all of us here in Southern Arizona. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Grant Krueger on The Morning Voice, 10:30 a.m. You're home for local news and talk. Matt Neely, I thought I was going to have to sing over there for just a brief moment. I don't know if you wanted to hear my one vocal cord at work.
You can do everything else, so I wouldn't put it past you to be able to do that too. So
we do have karaoke Union Hospitality Group on Sunday nights over here as well too. So just throwing that quick plug out
there. Just no hockey songs because, you know, it's just Tucson.
I can sing some Tragically Hip for you over here.
Oh,
I got
now
this
you're
down,
talking.
You know?
Okay.
I know some hockey songs. Hey, do we have Cassie lined up for the line over here for us?
Not just yet, so I'm keeping an eye on things.
We're going to keep going on local restaurant news over here because I got lots of neat things to cover still. Now, unfortunately, in the local restaurant world, we do have problems with closures in the summertime, right? And if it bleeds, it leads. It always ends up on the news in some capacity. And so I do have a closure to announce over here. The Tucson Coffee Cricket Company, they're located at the 5151 building. That's that big, tall east side building on the north side of Broadway. They've been operating for about 3.5 years in that particular building, taking care of all those tenants. I actually used to work in the 51 building at Morgan Stanley Dean Witter. I was an intern on the 17th floor. It was a great view, actually, from that building. I interned over there back in the days when I was in college, back when I guess that Fat Chance fast food restaurant was open on Campbell over here.
And we were avoiding vegetarian food.
And so the Tucson Coffee Cricket has announced their closure on Instagram. They're closing at the end of this month on the 31st of July at the expiration of their lease. No plans for a reopening yet, but we are keeping our eyes open for that one as well, too. On the more positive news, Salad Nation has announced that they're going to build their second location. Salad Nation was a locally owned salad company that's inside of the Park Mall. We've had a number of talks about the challenges of opening up restaurants inside of malls. Mall traffic has been down for many years. The rents from these properties continues to skyrocket and, of course, makes things challenging for operators as well. Theaters aren't quite the same draw they used to be when you have 80-inch TVs at home and you have theater concepts that have restaurants and improved food service built into them as well, too. When you think of the Roadhouse Cinemas or Galaxy Theater type models, you're not necessarily going to go out to dinner to an adjacent restaurant when the theater is the restaurant up front. And so just announced last week, Salad Nation has signed a lease at 6425 North Oracle Road. That's a location that was in Edible Arrangements the last time around in its previous iteration. It's where the Parish is in that neck of the woods, the Oracle and Orange Grove shopping center on that northwest side of Oracle and Orange Grove. So if you're paying attention to that one, you're going to get an upscale new salad concept coming your way. Probably going to take a number of months to get that one done because that lease just got signed. And if you learn anything from me talking on this show about restaurants, there's always a fair bit of permitting and construction challenges. Most restaurants can't actually pick their opening day to within, in some cases, Matt, even month, because there's just so many tech, you know, stacking, trade stacking, contingent things happening to delay your opening. And the opening is the caboose. And if even one thing on that train is delayed, even a second, it delays everything else behind it. And it's so quick to go behind schedule and over budget. And it's one of the reasons that restaurants often close so quickly in their first months of iteration. You wonder, how could this have happened? But they went behind schedule, over budget, had to pay rent a number of months while they were under construction and end up in all kinds of financial trouble when you open up weak. Not saying that that's the case at all with Salad Nation, just sort of speculating and throwing that one out there for our listeners that they're coming on sometime probably before the new year at 6425 North Oracle, and so we're wishing them a tremendous amount of success. As well, the He Me Coffee Company, they're located on Congress right now in between the former Chase Bank location that's now the Treasurer, Dan Scordato, and of course the Monica on that south side of Congress over here. He Me Company has announced that they're opening a second location in a 2,800 square foot space on University Boulevard in Main Gate Square. And so that's pretty cool to have these guys pop up and open up a second coffee shop, particularly on Main Gate Square, where it can be challenging to take care of all of our college students, as we've had a number of operators from Main Gate Square pop in and out of, you know, business and pop in and out on this show as well, too, because of those peaks and valleys. You really have a big valley come summertime, and that's a big space with an awful lot of turnover, but they've had a pretty tremendous amount of success on their Broadway location, and so we're wishing them success, and hopefully they'll get that open before their students return next month on Main Gate Square. You may have noticed as well, too, that the casino, the Pasquayaki tribe, has been working on that Grant and I-10 casino, and the final beams were welded into place in that casino just last week. Peter Eucapicio, you know, signed those beams, and we're probably a year and a half away from that casino being a full-fledged operating business, but it's not that far away. We're going to, for the first time in Tucson's history, have legalized gambling and legalized sports gambling inside of the city of Tucson. You will no longer have to travel all the way down Valencia to the far west side in some capacity to get your gambling fix on. And I think this is going to have interesting ramifications on sports bars. I think this is going to have interesting ramifications on the hospitality industry as well, too. The casinos, as we've seen from Casino del Sol, often can exist in their own insulary bubble in some capacity. They don't have to necessarily operate profitably in their restaurants to make money. If they just give you a loss leader, whether it's a concert or whether it's a dining experience at lower than market price, if you walk by the one-armed bandits on your way to the casino, they are going to be there to greet you with open arms. And that is generally how they derive their profits. And so we're about to have a Midtown casino in the same way that you see Talking Stick exists just on the other side of the 101 from Scottsdale. We're going to have that in just a year and some change. It is coming. That is Grant and I-10. That's, of course, the location of the former 16-plex movie theater over there where you used to go park your car when you wanted to have it stolen in some capacity, because by the time you'd get out of the theater, it was already on its way on I-19 and possibly out of the country in some capacity. That's been completely gutted and refurbished, and they're now building a brand new Midtown casino, and all these beams have been put into place, and so it is on its way.
So would you like to bring Cassie on now for a couple minutes, and then she can stick with us in the next segment as well?
Yeah, let's do it. We're excited to have Kathy Smidell Doxy joining us in the KVOI studios over here. Cassie is a noted Republican strategist and vice president of communication of Coin, a conservative credit card company, to talk to us about all things happening with this one big, beautiful bill signed last week on America's birthday. Good morning, Cassie.
Thanks for having me. Sorry. Good morning. And sorry about the time changing. You know, I'm out here stuck in the swamp, but I'm glad to be with you guys.
No, we're excited to spend part of our Wednesday morning with you over here, too, on The Morning Voice and in Tucson, Arizona. Lots of big news happening politically over there, huh, Cassie?
Oh, my gosh. Just another day in Washington in the Trump administration. No slow news days. But yeah, I was just reading. You talked about the one big, beautiful bill that codified into law, I believe, 28 of the president's executive orders. So big stuff happening in addition to making permanent the Trump tax cuts, which, of course, is huge. That would have been horrible for all of us had that not gotten through. And then to have all of these campaign promises codified into law as well. That's what we voted for, right?
Sure. We in the restaurant business, you know, we were really excited about the 199A and continuation of you know, depreciation schedules where we could finally depreciate all of our heavy equipment purchases in the first year. These are the kind of things that make you reinvest in local businesses and end up hiring all these local individuals, too. And so we're excited that the current administration moved so quickly to help codify some of these things and keep them around for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's what you get when you have, certainly starting with the man at the top, the president being a businessman, he sees those things and understands that that is a good thing for the long-term economic picture, to have businesses, A, be able to plan, and B, to say, okay, great, then I can free up some money or get it put back into the business to grow the business, to hire more workers. That's the mindset of a businessman at the top versus the mindset of a career politician who's never had to worry about a bottom line.
I think so as well too, Cassie. Well, we've got to take a quick break over here in the action for some of our valued sponsors, but I'd love to get another segment with you over here because you are no stranger to national politics, having worked for Representative Sean Duffy, Senator Todd Young. You've been the National Press Secretary of the Republican National Committee, Executive Director of America a Rising Pack. Stay tuned, listeners. Let's do one more segment with Cassie Smidell Doxy when we come back after the break on The Morning Voice, your home for local news and talk.
And if you'd like to follow along with us, we're on Facebook, 1030 The Voice is the page, or YouTube, 1030 The Voice is the page. We're streaming in video as well as right here in Tucson on AM radio. Morning Voice will be right back.
Welcome back to The Morning Voice. I am your host, Grant Kruger, and we're lucky enough to have another segment over here with Kathy Smidell Doxy. She's the VP of Communications of Coin, a conservative-based credit card and a very well-noted Republican strategist. Welcome back, Cassie.
Hey, great to be back.
Hey, tell us a little bit about this card over here as well, too, that you are vice president of right now.
Yes, I'd be glad to. So Coin, COIGN.com, that G is silent, but it's all part of the values aligned spending movement. Coin is a credit card like any other credit card you use in your wallet with one big difference. Every time you spend right, as we say, so every dollar you spend, a portion of the fees that we collect as a credit card company, we put into a Coin charity bucket. So at no cost to our cardholders, we put it into a Coin charity bucket, and then we present our cardholders with four values-aligned charities every quarter. In fact, our Coin charity vote is happening now, and the cardholders get to vote on them, and then we disseminate and disperse the bucket, donate the contents of the bucket to those charities based on the vote total. So while the major credit cards are out there giving literally billions of dollars to causes that do not match our values, values, COIN is trying it a different way. And so it's a way that you can be an activist and you can be a supporter of your American dream and the country that you want your kids and grandkids to grow up in without adding anything else to your to-do list. Just use it the same way you use any credit card in your wallet. So right now we're actually on a wait list, but if you go to coin.com, you can join the wait list and be among the first to get the card when we open the list back up. But demand is really high for this concept, and it's a really great way to live out our values.
And that COIN card works just like a Visa card then in some capacity, right? It's basically accepted everywhere Visa is?
You got it. It's a Visa-backed credit card. So literally any credit card you've ever had in your wallet works the same exact way, and you get 1% cash back on all purchases. And then, of course, you get the benefit of donating to charities. And this quarter, I mean, we're donating almost $200,000 a quarter to Values Aligned causes. So it's a real difference maker. And in fact, one of our charities from last quarter, Mercy Chefs, they were among the first on the ground in Texas after the tragic floods. So we do big groups, Turning Point USA, which I know you guys know well in Arizona. They've been one of our winners. And then you've got other groups that are helping veterans or helping in local communities with delivering assistance to neighbors in need, just the full range of things, but all about those values that we all share as conservatives and ones that believe that help should come from neighbor to neighbor and community to community and not the government.
Without a doubt, it was pretty sad to see the floods in Texas politicize so much over here, yeah, too, Cassie, to see that where you had the National Weather Service issuing warnings many hours in advance, and yet somehow this became political and fault of the cherry at the top of the sundae over here politically, which didn't make any sense to me.
I know. It's an unfortunate state of our political circumstances. The floodwaters hadn't even receded, and they were already out, Democrats, trying to politicize this. And, you know, I don't know if you saw that pediatrician who said, you know, they're all MAGA supporters and they deserve this. And my first thought, I'm a mom to two young kids, and my thought is those children were not divisive. Those children were not political. In fact, those children were at summer camp trying to build their relationship with God. And they came from families that prioritize that as well. And I'm sure were kind, loving Christian homes. And those children in particular, I'm confident, were what makes America great. And they would have done great things in our country. And to have these people coming out and being political and divisive and saying that they deserved this, I'm so sad for those kids. I'm embarrassed for those adults who think that way. And I hope better of our fellow neighbors is in the future. I hope they feel bad about that. But then to see our career politicians as well rushing to politicize this when so many are in the thick of their heartbreak and anguish, that too is a sad commentary on our country right now. And I really hope that their constituents and voters saw that, were outraged by that, and do something about it, because we need better people interested in these positions who will work to find answers where there need to be. And certainly, even though, as you pointed out, the National Weather Service and the local authorities on the ground said we had a plan and the plan was executed, it's unfortunate that this happened in the middle of the night when people were dead asleep. That's one of the things that I think we'll come to find out was the biggest factor in all of this and in this tragedy. But to rush to say, oh, it's Donald Trump, it has to be Donald Trump's fault, that's just where their default is on anything these days. And that's not helpful to anyone.
No, it's sad to see the divisiveness that we have here politically on a national level. The pendulum always has swung back and forth between right and left. And of course, the answer is going to be somewhere in the middle, where most of us actually reside in some capacity, sure, in our lives as well, too. And this isn't going to be the only time that we see something like this so negatively politicized. Like, we're going to have not just, you know, the results of this big bill that was signed into law last week, but we're going to see other reconciliation bills coming down the pipeline as well, too, no?
Yeah, absolutely. Or better yet, we hope we see appropriations bills. We want Congress to work through the regular order, as we call it, because that's where you really can go in and say, do we still need this program? Is this program still serving its intended original use or at the same, you know, funding level? And that's where the real fiscal responsibility can happen. And for well over a decade, Congress has not been able to get through all of those appropriations bills, which is why we continue to have these continuing resolutions, the CRs, or the dreaded omnibus at the end of the year, the Christmas tree, where they just throw everything in and it doesn't go through that regular order process. So we want Congress to work. We want them to go through those conversations. And better yet, we want it to happen in a bipartisan way, because that means that people are truly thinking of their constituents and doing what's right for their constituents, and not just rushing to get something through in the dead of night, adding to our debt. We need Congress to work, and we need that executive or that legislative branch to work. Too much has been yielded to the executive branch, frankly, regardless of which president is in office, and that's not good for the American taxpayer either. So, yes, we need them to do more work, and I think the Big Beautiful Bill was certainly a really good execution of that process, because you saw going through both chambers and there was a lot of conversation, and with the Senate doing their marathon amendment session, but they did it all throughout the day, not in the middle of the night. Those things are good. We need to see more of that.
Without a doubt. Last week we had the president of the Border Patrol Union on, and he talked about how effective this new funding that they're receiving is going to be in construction of that border wall. And we had some great talks about how in southern Arizona, this is going to help reduce that fentanyl supply that we've had just wrecking our community. Absolutely just like its own flood, only a far more devastating flood that kills people over a period of years as opposed to just sad minutes. And that flood of fentanyl has been affecting us for the better portion of the last 4 or 5 years at this point, with 50 cent a pill just lobotomizing our population and absolutely adding to the homeless crisis that we've had in southern Arizona. And we're excited for some changes that I think are going to help fix that problem.
Yes, I mean, from your mouth to God's ears, but what a sea change for the Border Patrol. Think about what they went through, and really by extension, what you and your community have gone through for the last 4 years, where it was open border, or their resources were spread so thin because they were having to run on so many fronts to try, and it was like whack-a-mole because there were so many holes every day because the border was not just porous, it was open. Come on in. And it was hard to enforce the law when you had the White House telling people that it didn't have to be enforced. And now they feel supported, they feel funded. And I hope as an extension of that, your communities are also, that there's confidence and security return to your communities. And I'm originally from Missouri, and we felt it up there too. The problem with what was happening over the last 4 years is that every town became a border town. Communities that we once took for granted as safe and secure places were no longer the case. And now I live out here in Virginia, and we're seeing that with MS-13 gangs and the uptick in violence. And of course you have, we're currently a red state with Governor Glenn Youngkin, but certainly a bright blue legislature, and the woman, Abigail Spanberger, who is running for governor in Virginia. She's a Democrat, current member of Congress, and she purports to be a moderate, but she just said the other day, essentially she's fine for being a sanctuary state, that we need to give those coming to the country, regardless how they got here, give them a chance. That's a really scary situation for all of us. And it really threatens to turn back the tide and the clock on so much of the progress that we saw so quickly from the Trump administration, right as soon as he was inaugurated. And as you said, that confidence with the Border Patrol to be able to do their jobs and protect and defend our border, but all the communities that surround it and going into the interior of the country.
Without a doubt, Cassie. Well, we appreciate you taking part of your Wednesday to break this down for us over here, and all the efforts that you've put in both politically through the PACs and your service to our various electeds, and now through the COIN card as well, too. One more time, where can our guests find information about COIN?
Yes, please. COIN, COIGN.com. To go and read all about it, learn all about it, and get on the wait list, and we'll let you know as soon as you can get it in your wallet. But I really appreciate you giving me the time, and it's been great to talk with you.
No, likewise. Great having you on the show over here. You're welcome back anytime on The Morning Voice. You want to break down local and national political news with us? We love having you. This has been Kathy Smidell-Doxy, Vice President of Communication of COIN. Thank you so much, Cassie.
Thank you. Have a great week.
Don't go anywhere. We've got one more segment of The Morning Voice coming up after the break. Welcome back to the final segment of The Morning Voice. Matt Neely bringing the tunes for us, as always, over here.
A little slow, but I'm getting there.
I was going to have to sing again, and all the listeners rejoiced when they heard the tunes finally come on kicking.
Look at Dave and Betsy. They're going to be sitting in for Kathleen. Dave and Betsy Smith, maybe they'll sing as well.
Without a doubt, lots to sing about over there as former chairs of the Pima County Republican Party for Dave and Betsy, but certainly no strangers to this studio over here at KVOI either. Hey, we've got one final segment here for you, and I've got a couple other pieces of restaurant news to bring up to you. Last week, we talked briefly on the breaking news that Güero Canelo was closing their iconic, first location, but I think that was a bit premature. They're actually building a building right next door to it.
Yeah.
That's going to be twice the size. And their existing building is going to be bladed and become the parking lot for this new two-story Güero Canelo over here. So Güero is going to be back bigger than ever in some capacity. So I just wanted to make sure and make, I won't say a correction because we gave the information that we had at the time, but an addendum to that news from last week so that we could make sure that you had the correct information out there as well, too.
And parking there has always been, I won't say challenging. I mean, the neighbors, God bless them, have all been quite accommodating, but I think this will be a good thing for everybody.
Without a doubt. And so there's also another coffee company opening up. Harley's Coffee Company announced their grand opening this Saturday, July 5th. They're at 316 East 6th Street. That's 6th and 4th Avenue, essentially. And so they've opened up just this week, so we wish them a tremendous amount of success. Always happy to have new things popping up in that 4th Avenue area. I get more and more worried about the long-term economic viability of some of these older 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th generation locations that are parking challenged, that are visibility challenged, that aren't in the insulatory bubble that is University Boulevard, or buoyed by some capacity with economic incentives from Rio Nuevo in the downtown area. When you're outside of that cocoon, you're on your own, right? You're rolling solo over here. And so Harley's Coffee Company has opened up as of Saturday, July 5th. So do please go out and give those guys a visit over here.
Just for the record, I'm going to be using the term insulatory bubble multiple times today. So thank you for that, Grant.
Anytime. Happy to add to your lexicon over here, sir, and impress you with the size of my vernacular. So ultimately, lots of cool things still happening here in the Old Pueblo. We've got an event in St. Philip's Plaza with TV Azteca this weekend, this Sunday, 5 to 9 p.m. We're giving away 40 bicycles in our first annual Festival de los Niños.
And so
we're having a kids' fest out there, 5 to 9 p.m. We're going to have a load of performers. TV Azteca is going to be out there with a whole number of merchants who are going to be giving away school supplies as well, too. So expect to see backpacks, notebooks, and a number of bicycles and helmets that we're giving away. So we got 40 bikes and 40 helmets that have been donated by a number of local businesses to contribute to the kids. All of this is free, zero cost. So if you don't have anything to do with your kids and you want to get them outside of that house when that sun just starts to go down, this upcoming Sunday, the 13th of February, we got 40 bike giveaway in St. Philip's Plaza this weekend and our first annual Kids Fest out there. And I'm hoping to make this one a bit more of an annual deal so that we can do more cool things in the summertime in Tucson when not as much stuff is happening, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. Now, Sine Die happened as well, too, this week to finish up, or last week, I should say, the close of the Arizona legislative session, which means that laws that were passed by our state lawmakers become law 90 days after that. So that date happens to be September 26th. And so there's going to be a number of new laws popping up over here in September for you to be aware of, right? As even though our governor had 174 vetoes shattering her previous record, it still meant that hundreds of other laws got through the books, many of which weren't so contemptuous or politicized. One of the more interesting ones one was the ban on pornography starting on September 26th. And so a number of noted porn sites will have to be 18 or over, and you'll have to have some sort of proof of your identification and your age to access that sensitive adult information in the state of Arizona on September 26th. So heads up over there for all of you enjoyers of those particular sites. That is going to not be available. And as well, too, you're going to be able to start construction work a little earlier as well, too. In the summer months, they've changed the law that you can now start at 5 o'clock in the morning as opposed to 6, which does make all the sense in the world, sure, quite frankly. I don't like to be woken up at 5 a.m. any more than the next person, except, of course, when I'm here to do the morning voice with you listeners. But realistically speaking, this makes sense from an employee safety standpoint as well, too. You'd much rather have your workers doing the construction when it's light out at 5:15 in the morning, well before it gets fiery hot out there. And I think it's going to be part of a larger nationwide look at heat-related issues when you think of OSHA and how we work with making our employees safe working outside in the trades. And it's even going to end up applying into restaurants as well, too. When you're sitting in kitchens, it gets pretty hot out there. And there's a much bigger look at employee safety. And so these will all be issues that we're going to break down, I think, on our next show. When I get back in a couple weeks, I'm going to be off next week. I've got Dr. Ed Ackerley. He's going to bring in Rob Baino from KOLD and Treg White from KGUN9 and talk about what stations are doing to remain relevant and important over here when you can get your news from so many other sources. That'll be next Wednesday on The Morning Voice. But right now, we have appreciated you spending part of your Wednesday with us, getting your news from us on KVOI over here. We love remaining relevant when you listen in your cars or in your living room or online when you stream us now from the computers over here as well, too. It's been a fantastic Wednesday morning with you. We've got Dave and Betsy Smith filling in for Kathleen Wynn coming up after the break. I will see you guys in just a couple of weeks. Stay cool out there and keep on wishing for rain. Thanks for listening to 10:30 a.m. The Voice. You're home for local news and talk.